Blog Talk Radio.
Ese que trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo manada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio haré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes porque mucha gente se muere sin culpa. Bien dicen que en el negocio siempre son los socios que te traicionan. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca está lona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora.
Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora. True Talk Radio, episode 127, coming back in August after a couple shows in July. We did the four-rounder, we did the six-rounder. We had a couple of guests, and shit, man, we're still working, we're still grinding, still plugging away with this boxing scene. Shit, man, we missed a couple of weeks. We missed the Kovalev destruction. We missed the Mikey Garcia victory. You know, the Neno resigning. We're going to talk about that, those news in the sport of boxing, and also looking forward to this week in the sport of boxing. It doesn't stop. As always, you know, feels good to be back representing. Shout out to my boy Montano, keeping me on my toes a little and staying active on the site while your boy is out here slanging these whips and doing the social media thing. But together and with the help of the homies, man, we're doing the best that we can, man. True Talk Radio, episode 127, raw and uncut. No editor, no producer, just the real deal, man. And it's what it is, man. It's what we do. What's going on, Montano? You ready to rock and roll, my boy? Oh, shit. There you go right there. Go ahead, Montano.
Yeah, for sure. Got a couple of decent fights this week, you know, televised action. And then we got quite a few news stories. You know, the boxing world's always popping one way or another. So there's always plenty to talk about. And so I'm ready to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As the boxing world turns, man, it doesn't stop. I'm going to keep it real light and sweet, man, as far as, you know, what we missed. You know, I think the bigger one that I want to cover is the Kovalev, because that was kind of unexpected in the sense that no one really seen that one coming. You know, but the Mikey Garcia, a lot of us kind of felt that that's the way it was going to go. You know, we felt that that was going to be – I can't remember if we copied covered the Munguia victory, but – Mikey versus Easter. Obviously, Mikey got the win. That's what we expected, and he looked good. You know, he dropped Easter. Easter does go on and survive. Mikey Garcia unified some titles, and now he's, you know, calling out Spence, which we had talked a little bit about that prior to as well. And, that was the big thing. You know, after the fight, you know, Mikey said, hey, I want Errol Spence, man. I want a challenge. He had been saying it for a long time. I think now people know that he means it. Dare to be great. A lot of people calling him crazy, but if anybody can do it, it is a Mikey Garcia who, no spring chicken, man. He's 30 years old. He's already made his legacy. He's already made his history. You know, he's fought at 140. I think the big thing is, you know, people saying, why not fight an easy fight at 147 and then dive to him? But he's saying, no. You know, even his father, Robert Garcia, his brother, coach, saying, hey, we'd rather him fight Manny Pacquiao. But, nah, he wants, quote-unquote, boogeyman. He wants who nobody else wants. And, shit, man, props to him. If the fight happens, shit, I would love for the fight to happen in Texas. I doubt that it would happen in Texas. Sources say it's probably going to happen in Vegas, maybe even L.A. Staples Center, which would be a good look for Errol Spence in the sense that, you know, they're trying to convert him to be that superstar, that megastar, that breakthrough star.
We know what he does in Texas. He's shown us what he's done in Texas. He's fought on the East Coast. He's fought all over, but he's never headlined on the West. And I think that's a good look. And, shit, I'll let you get on that a little bit, my boy.
Well, Mikey definitely did look good against Easter. And he pretty much dominated, picked up his second belt in the lightweight division. Outside of his, you know, straight after that fight, the IBF called out for their mandatory fighter, Richard Comey, to fight Mikey Garcia as the mandatory, which personally, I like that fight. But Mikey, like you said, I think Mikey brought 12,000 people to the Staples Center, and he's probably moved into a different tier of a fighter, of champion, of a superstar. So he's doing it. He's in a win-win situation where I think he understands a little bit of where he's at in his career after taking 2 years off and wants the biggest and best fight. Earl Spence is that. I do think that fight would probably end up in Vegas just because of, you know, it'd be in the middle of both people's, you know, it would be in the middle of both fighters' fan base, you know, area to be able to travel. If Spence were to go to Cali, it's the fight capital. But you know, if Spence took that in Cali, that's as much confidence as you can show without chin checking someone, you know, before the fight. Mikey's in a very good position. Now, a lot of people, me included, and a lot of people within the industry have looked at Garcia as almost as like, what is he doing? Why, you know, he needs to sign with the promoter. He needs to do this, nitpicking his career. Now, it seems to have worked, or at least it's working for him. He's not tied down to anybody and is able to choose and pick, or at least have options on how to run his own career, which is always a good look. It doesn't work for most people, but at this point, at 38-0, it is working for Mikey Garcia. Now, Spence is having trouble, which he shouldn't be having trouble. We saw him last in June, and we haven't heard anything outside of the Mikey Garcia fight as being a next possible fight. Now, the one that was supposed to, you know, fighting in a couple of in about a month is Ugas, who is a mandatory for him. I'd like to see that. Maybe we set up an Ugas, Spence, and Mikey, 1 week, and then the other week, which is Comey versus Garcia, and then Spence versus Ugas, almost leading into something maybe early next year. But Mikey's done things the right way, whether we like it or not. He's put himself in a great position. And other than that, there's been a lot of quality boxing that just passed.
All right, real quick, that's my boy wearing his boxing hat. And we're gonna talk about that boxing. One thing I will say is, you know, he took the 2 years off, so that's why I feel a lot of people are nitpicking him. To be clear, Errol Spence did say that he wants no fight with Ugas. While he respects him, he did say in the post-fight press conference, you know, he wants the big names. And to be fair, and to be, to give the man his props, he did say he wants the big names. He called out Keith Thurman, who is still missing, still on the milk carton, still hasn't fought nobody. He did say he wants the winner of Porter versus Garcia, which is happening September 8th. We'll talk a little bit about that. The media day was yesterday in Las Vegas at the Porter High Performance Complex out there in Vegas. He did say he wanted that, you know, but a lot of people ain't in line to fight him. And here you got Mikey Garcia, as my boy said, doing things the right way, is getting nitpicked. You know, he's a promoter. Does he? Does he not? I think Top Rank set it up. You know, we talk a little bit about that on the show continuously, how Top Rank has, you know, they do have that experience and they've done it. You know, they set it up. This was what it was always supposed to be. We've mentioned that stuff on the show before. And he's just setting it on his own path now. And he is 30 years old. He is about the money. So if he does step up, you know, props to him, because he's taking that step up, man. And so if it happens, when it happens, whether it's Ugas versus Spence next, and, you know, Al Haymon and Richard Schaefer and Robert Garcia or whoever's behind the scenes making the decision, or if it's Mikey saying, you know what, you know, I came to my senses, maybe I should fight at 147 first and then step up, you know, whatever happens, happens, but it's out there, it's looming, it's ready. Both guys have said they're ready. Spence has said, hey, if he's crazy enough to do it, let's do it. Let's rock and roll. Another fight that happened that we missed, that, you know, while we go straight, while we're going to jump into that Kovalev fiasco, and again, you got so much news, Oscar Valdez switched trainers now with Eddie Reynoso, was the Japanese, man. Japan is coming up. You know, they've been on the boxing scene for a long time. We've talked about this repeatedly, you know, Mexico versus Japan, Japan versus Puerto Rico. You know, they're in those lighter weight classes, and they're making noise. And they got a new WBO champion, man. It was set up for Christopher Pitbull Diaz to get the win.
Yeah.
Fought. As a matter of fact, he fought the same night that Mikey Garcia won, but the Japanese fighter didn't get the memo. You know. Trained by the great Rudy Hernandez, who we've had on the show. Great boxing guy, Masayuki Ito, goes,
yep,
drops Christopher Diaz in Florida, and then goes and gets the win. Salute to Mr. Rudy Hernandez. Again, we had him on the show, the brother of the late, great Hall of Fame, Chicanito Hernandez. Rudy Hernandez, who trains Manny Robles, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago or a couple shows before we went off the air for a little while. He, you know, you heard him on the show. We talked about him. You know, props to him, props to him. And boom, in the shadows, in the lurks, he goes and gets a Japan, gets a Japanese fighter, and gets him a world title. And I can't stress that enough, man. You know, kind of under the radar. So everybody, leading up to the fight, everybody's talking Pitbull Diaz. At one point, Bob Arum, you know, being the promoter that he is, wearing his promoter hat as a promoter, you know, a legend in the game, says he's the next Puerto Rican great. He's going to be like a Tito Trinidad once he gets this title. And Japanese Ito said, "Oop, pump the brakes. Hey, what about me, homie? I got to say so with this." And he got the upset win, and that's what it is, man. So props to Ito, who got the WBO title. Japan gets another champion. And then on the undercard, a bit of an upset. I remember talking about that fight leading up to the show, getting into the card. We had a Gabriel Ito Barcelo, who got the who had been stopped, who's 38 years old. We even said it wasn't looking good for him. What did he do? He pulled the upset and got the KO over Demo King Reyes. And that's the sport of boxing. I'll let you jump on that one time before we leave on, my boy.
No, for sure. You know, Ito was fighting for the first time in America, and came over here and thoroughly dominated Diaz, who Diaz was punishing people in the last couple of fights. Braciero is a good story, brother, because he's not a heavy puncher. He's a Brooklyn guy, and he dominated Artirome Reyes, who for me, he looked like he was going through some stuff. I think he had lost his mother or went through some personal stuff leading up to this fight. He didn't want to be in there, and you could tell. Light hitting Baserio totally dominated that fight and stopped him in five. On that card, a whole bunch of young guys picked up wins. A couple of the just bring up and so we can go through it. On the Staples Center card for the Mikey Garcia, on the undercard, you had Fabian Maidana pick up a win, a knockout win over a tough Andriy Klimov. You had Luis Ortiz, which was the actual co-main event, but had a second round knockout. Mario Barros, the opener, dominated and retired Jose Roman in eight. Ray Perez actually pulled out another upset by beating Marquin. Yeah, youngsters, the Balderas brothers got wins on that card. So on those two fights, on those two events, you had almost 15 to 16 tenders that fought that week alone. The next week, on the 4th, which was the week of Kovalev, and Kovalev in Atlantic City.
Alvarez.
You had that fight, and you had a local fight here in the area that I'd like to talk about real quick after we get done talking about the Hard Rock Hotel Kovalev versus Alvarez fight.
Yeah, you had a lot of Dallas shows we want to talk about. Before we get to that card, I mean, that's a bad thing about missing shows sometimes, you know, that you do miss out. I'm just going to get to the news real quick. I did briefly mention it before. Oscar Valdez leaves Manny Robles. You know, unfortunate, you know, but it is the business, it's boxing. He joins Eddie Reynoso, known for training Canelo. We wish him the best. You know, Oscar Valdez said, hey, man, it was a tough decision. It was more stuff behind the scenes. Can't really talk about it now. I'm sure it's going to come out, you know, at some point. You know, Frank Espinoza doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out. If you look through the roster, he actually moved all his fighters from Manny Robles, who they were all under there. Some of them got dispersed over to Freddie Roach, who many people thought Oscar Valdez would do that, but he ended up going with Eddie Reynoso, which is kind of intriguing in the sense that now Reynoso has another fighter and can show that, hey, I'm more than just, you know, Canelo. You know, I'm a real trainer. And a lot of people are applauding the move because they're saying, hey, you know, he wasn't learning defense. You know, 36 rounds, last three fights. You know, Valdez, who's supposed to be the next great Mexican, is, you know, going through war, going through hell. So we'll see what happens on that front. Tevin Farmer got the big win over Billy Diaz, sure, to capture the IBF title. The guy from Philly, man, started his career at one point with like four losses. I believe he was 12-4 and came back and got the big, big win, man. So props to him. We're going to be joined here in a little bit by Castaneda, man. He fought Chuy Gutierrez, who just fought on Bain Sports this past Friday. Big win for him, man. Congratulations to Castaneda. And like my boy was talking about from the Hard Rock Cafe, before I get to that one, I'll briefly just touch on that so we can skip over because there's so much that we get caught up in it. You know, we're supposed to – today was going to be a quick one, but when it comes to the sport of boxing, you can talk boxing all the way, all day. But props to my boy Montano, who was actually on the Global Fight Talk. I believe that was the second show he has been on. And like they said on the show themselves, hey, man, if it comes to boxing, we could talk it all day. Some people would say it was a mild upset. Peter Quillen goes on the unanimous decision to win Jayon Love. I don't know what happens with Jayon Love. At one point, Floyd Mayweather was saying he was the next great fighter out of Michigan. He was going to be a champion, and unfortunately hasn't worked out for him. Shit, I'm going to be honest and be the first to admit it. I thought Kid Chocolate was done. I thought he was a damaged fighter, and that's why you can't ever knock a fighter and say, hey, he's a bum, he's done. You know, all I said was, you know, he's probably going to get knocked out. Never called him a bum or nothing, but I was surprised, and good for him, man. Props to him. Peter Quillen, I could say he resurrected his career because guess what? There's a big fight out there. There's big fights out there for him to make a couple more paychecks, especially after dominating Jayon Love. In the main event from that card, Andre Berto got the split decision over Devin Alexander, who gets – some people felt he won the fight. You know, but you really didn't hear the bloody murder, the cries for robbery and stuff like that. Unfortunately for Alexander, man, he doesn't have that following. He doesn't have that fan base. Always going to be a world champion. Always from St. Louis. Always represented it. Always going to represent. I'll always remember him. I remember my time in St. Louis. I got to go watch him live. I'll never forget his ring entrances and, you know, coming out with Young Jock and coming out dancing. I'll never forget him getting knocked the fuck out by Zab Judah. So much, but you know what? You know, he lived that career, and actually, I'm lying. It wasn't him. It was the other homie. It was the other homie that got knocked out by Zab Judah. I'm wrong, but I did see Alexander. It was the other homie. What was his name, bro? The dude from St. Louis, other champion.
Oh, you're talking about Corey Spinks.
Corey Spinks. There you go, Spinks. Yeah, it was Spinks. Yeah. Sorry, man. That's what I get. Yeah, I got to watch Spinks, and I did get to watch Alexander out in St. Louis. Getting to the card that we were going to talk about from that card that we missed.
Let me get a couple of seconds on that. Now, when leading into this, you know what I'm saying, you can obviously, if you don't get a Spence-Garcia fight, there's no reason why Berto Spence can't be made. Also on this card was Sergey Lipinets, who moved up from 140 after losing his title to Mikey Garcia. He won a majority decision against Eric Bone. That would Sergey Lipinets versus Spence would also be a solid fight. You also had Luis Collazo pulling out a tough and good decision, majority decision win over Brian Perlera. Collazo at 37, 38 years old is still someone that is his engine, his heart, is better than his physical skills and is still beating quality guys. Also, Marcus Brown, who was actually supposed to face Kovalev, who Nacho will be talking about shortly, was the actual mandatory for the WBO, but had some issues outside of the ring that forced him to not really take that fight. Won a boring 10-round decision over Castillo. I say boring in the sense of it wasn't it was kind of one-sided except for the fifth round when Brown got knocked down. He got back up and pretty much dominated. Also, too, the potential that I was talking about for Mikey Garcia fight, Richard Comey won a second-round knockout on that undercard. But that card was on Fox Sports and Fox Sports and Fox Regular. It provided some decent quality. You had some potential guys that are all, a lot of these guys are going to be B-sides to maybe bigger cards. Quinlan, I agree with you that a lot of people put him off, but it's just one of them things where it's out of sight, out of mind. If the way he looks Saturday, if he can do that in 4 months from now against even, you know, a same level or a higher level guy, people will flock to him. He's got a good mouthpiece on him, as in the way he communicates and the way he comes out in his presence. But if he's not in the ring, people are not going to care.
Yeah, man, for sure. Marcus Brown, you know, did have some issues and shit, man. What an opportunity he slipped, you know, especially after watching that fight. That could have been him, but he could have fought a different fight. He could have, you know, that's the sport of boxing too, man. I know a lot of fighters that look back in their career like, damn, if I would have did this, damn, if I would have did that. And like boxing and in life, man, that's why you got to take the opportunities, take those chances that are presented to them, to you at the time, and jump on them, man, because you only live once, man. You know, and with that said, man, Bivol got the big win over Chilemba. He didn't get the knockout that many expected. Chilemba, crafty fighter, got the main event. Actually, was celebrating that day out in the ranch, watching the fights with my family, and we got to watch him. Got to watch Kovalev, you know, start off getting busy. I'm not sure if he's done. Immediately after the fight, I said he was done. But looking back in hindsight, if he takes the rematch, and that's a big if he takes the rematch, then I'm going to give him his props. You know what? You're a big fighter. You got those balls. Then you got it. Because I think that's the play for him at this point, to recapture the title.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Kovalev is not the same after, quote-unquote, getting robbed by Andre Ward. But there was no robbery in the second fight. I'm not going to make excuses. People hate Andre Ward all the damn time. I'm bringing it up right now. But you still got to give the man his props. He got the win. Now, if in fact...
Yeah, true.
Kovalev's mind was so disturbed and he was so hurt and his aura was erased when he got robbed, then what the fuck? Is he really that monster? Is he really that crusher? Because if it is, then he goes back and says, you know what, fuck that, I'm going to knock him out, which many people expected him to do in the rematch, and he didn't. A lot of people say that there was a crank in that armor, and once it cracked, it was a wrap. And even after that, he kind of had that Lucas Matisse appeal where he got the wins and he recaptured, which is his titles, which was good for him. He didn't come back to what they were building him up as, an HBO fighter, the crusher, you know, destroying people. And you see what happened against Alvarez. He had him, you know, he was hurting him, but he didn't get rid of him. He didn't, quote unquote, crush him. He let the guy get in, start fighting his fight, using the jab, and then with one shot, everything changed, gets dropped, rocked, gets up on the count of five. Some people feel that he could have stayed down a little bit longer, regained his composure, and fought on, but he didn't, and he bounced back right up. And like we say, man, it happens all the time in boxing.
Again.
You know, what if? What if? And then, you know, the rest is history. He ends up getting dropped a couple more times. The world stopped. I mean, his world's over at that moment. You know, he's done. He's a bum. You know how it is. But on the flip side, props to Alvarez, the foreign fighter who comes over here to the United States and gets the big win, the joy, the glory. That is boxing. And we were talking about that with my fan. We were just watching, and I was trying to tell them, you know, they're boxing heads like me. You know, we all about boxing. And they were like, shit, you know. And I told them right then and there, that's the agony of defeat, and that's the fucking epitome of victory. You see it right there, the overjoy, the excitement, the celebration. Thank you, God. You know, I did it. Thank you. He waited years for this. And if you forget, you know, Alvarez stepped aside multiple times for Stevenson. So on the flip side, you know, what about that? You know, Stevenson kind of still out there just flowing around with his, WBC title in Canada. He fought with Jack. We know what happened there, but he's still out there flowing around. Alvarez was supposed to get that WBC shot. And guess who gave it to him? Kovalev. So, I'll just end it with this. Is he done? I don't know. We'll see. If he takes the rematch, definitely not done. And whatever happens in the rematch will reveal if he is done or not, because he does have the rematch clause. So, hey, the ball is in the crusher's hands, whatever he decides. But nonetheless, props to both guys. It was a hell of a fight. It was great action. I actually had Kovalev winning. But as I mentioned, I kept telling the homies, you can actually ask. I think I may have mentioned to Montano, but I for sure told all the family when we were watching it before it started, and I was emailing and texting homies that Alvarez was about to win, and he did. And it's just, to me, the biggest thing was the jab and the fact that he wasn't scared. And at one point, Max Kellerman, who I'm starting to love more and more, he said it. Is he gonna fold, or is he going to step up like a fighter? And he did. Go ahead, Montano.
No, you're right. And Kovalev is, and it's coming out a little bit more and more as well, is he's kind of a guy that is probably not going about being a pro at a top level the right way, wants to be a little bit more self-trained. And at this level, you need someone to be your eyes when you're in there. The perfect example was the knockdown. He was unable to hold. He wanted to exchange right back up. Not that that would have changed anything, but just small stuff like that. The overhand right that Alvarez threw, drilled him, and knocked him down. I mean, there's no – Alvarez hits 10 guys out of that. About 6 or 7 are going to fold. They might get back up like Kovalev. Some will, some won't. It was a perfect storm. And the good thing is Kovalev does have a rematch clause. I think they probably take one fight and then go back into it after resetting 2019. He definitely is at a crossroads in his fight. That night, I actually was able to, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit, just real quick. I was able to go to the River Ranch Texas Horse Park in Dallas. Big Card Promotions had a few 10-round fights, headlined by Craig Corbin, heavyweight. That was 15-0. He retired Humberto Fonseca from South Texas. Corbin plotted pretty much. He got the third round retirement off of Homer. Dominated. There wasn't not too much to it. 16-0 now. He's at a place where he needs to move to somewhere at 16-0 and take his shot. He's a big physical, big guy, so he's got the physical tools. I've actually seen him in a legit fight where he took some really big punishment and walked right through it. So I think he's at a point where he's going to have to shoot the dice. The real fight of the night was two undefeated 10-0 guys. You had Ernesto Delgadillo, 10-0, versus Nate Green. 10-0, Nate Green was actually trained by Luis Rosa Sr. This was a fight in the super flyweight division for the WBC United States super flyweight title, more of a regional title, of course. But you had two undefeated guys. Ernesto Delgadillo is a smaller guy, but just outworked Nate Green. Nate Green kind of, after a headbutt in the second round, stayed back and was trying to counter and wait for one punch too much. Ernesto Delgadillo has super flyweight. In the United States, there's not that much of competition, but he is close on the cusp of getting an opportunity. Just because of his record-wise, he moves to 11-0. He does have a crowd-pleasing style. He does have legit skills. He is a small guy. I'm not sure if his weight, his punch carries into anything world title, but it was a fun evening, and it was a legit 10-round fight, which is always good for a local show.
Yeah, definitely small guy, but definitely a warrior. He's got a couple of draws. I got to double-check that record if he is, in fact, undefeated. I thought he had a loss in there, bro. But I think he has a couple of draws. No, he doesn't. But he is a hell of a fighter. He is kind of small for his weight class. Plus, then there's a couple other Dallas shows going on that night.
Week before.
Man, it's always happening. We'll talk about that a lot on the show,
whether local or on the TV. You know, it is what it is. It don't stop. Again, Castaneda got the big win over Gutierrez. That was a big fight. You know, a lot of times Castaneda does the talking, and people are like, oh, is he ever going to step up? Guess what? He stepped up, and he fought a good fighter in Chuy Gutierrez, and he got the win, bro. He faced some adversity in the sense that it looked like Chuy was coming on, but Kendall did what he had to do and handled business and got the win, so props to him. The winner and loser, you got Canelo Triple G press conference or teleconference that happened yesterday. Going to talk a little bit about that here shortly. You got Carl Frampton versus Luke Jackson. You got B.Y. Jinnan versus Alexander Dmytrenko from Atlantic City coming up this Saturday as well. Winner or loser, in my opinion, Joseph Jojo Diaz. He's going to fight Rojas. Rojas, the WBA champion. And for the record, it was a real title because he was elevated from interim champ to champ. Yes, keep in mind, WBA has the super champion, regular champion, and interim champion. Interim champion, quote-unquote, is the fake belt. They have Leo Santa Cruz as the WBA champion, and Jojo Diaz was fighting the regular champion, which was Rojas. So in that hindsight, it's a real belt to me, to people. It's not an NABF. It's not a regional. It's not an IBO. It's not one of those belts. And that's a whole other show, but I just wanted to be clear about that, to put it out there, because Rojas was elevated from interim champ to regular champ before the fight. So leading up to the fight, you know, Jojo Diaz coming off the fight against Gary Russell, WBC title fight, his first fight, you know, took an L against a hell of a fighter with, you know, amateur pedigree and, you know, world champion level already, and Jojo Diaz was stepping up and came up short. Golden Boy, you know, being a promoter, doing what they have to do for their fighter because they don't, you know, they have their blue chips, you know, and Jojo Diaz falls under that category, former Olympian and, you know, coming into the fight, you know, lost against Gary Russell. We got to make him a champion. You know, can he beat any of these other champions? A lot of people felt this was the best way to go for him to get the belt. Loses the belt before he even won the belt because he didn't make weight, unfortunately. 0.6 pounds. So Rojas kept his title regardless. Win, lose, or draw, he was keeping his title because the challenger, according to WBA rules, didn't make weight. So at that point, it was still a title fight, but it wasn't a title fight in the sense that Diaz couldn't win. And even though he won, a lot of people felt he lost because of the fact that he failed to make weight, but because they felt that he lost, they felt that he got rocked. I had it close, man. I could have had it a draw. You know, Mario Lopez was on the play-by-play. I love Mario Lopez. I'm always going to be a fan of A.C. Slater. And I know he knows his boxing stuff, and I know he does the show with the homie Steve Kim, the Kimster, but being a radio host, kind of like what we're doing right here on the podcast, and doing a play-by-play, blow-by-blow, is a little bit different. And in my opinion, I'm going to keep it true, he was dick riding a little too much. You could just tell that he was Team Jojo. You could tell he was going, boy, I mean, we know the story. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that him and Oscar are homies. But if you're doing that job, you got to do that job and keep it real and let it be known that, yes, Rojas is coming on, like he would say throughout the fight. But he wasn't giving him enough props in the sense that it was almost like he was trying to play himself or play the crowd or the people that are watching on Facebook, which was another disaster. I know a lot of people were complaining. Like the homie said, get your fucking internet up and stop complaining because, you know, I was able to watch the fight with no issues, fortunately for me. But it was a lot closer than a couple of those scorecards. And, again, in my opinion, it was a draw. But regardless of the fact, Jojo couldn't win it anyways. Rojas did get the win. I mean, Jojo did get the win, but didn't even get the title. So after all that, you know, it was set up for him. The table was set. He didn't even get the win. I would love to see the rematch, you know, and I think the rematch is a good thing. One thing I will say that I took away from that fight was Rojas is a warrior. Because even after the fight, he could have bitched. He could have complained like a lot of the Puerto Rican fans and Rojas fans did, saying he got robbed and stuff. Again, I had it a draw. My only complaint is that I felt like Mario Lopez didn't give Rojas enough. He did give him props, but he didn't push. He wasn't fair to me. But, again, you know, to be fair, that was probably one of his first few times doing the play-by-play, and it was Facebook, what have you.
But I felt Rojas was a warrior, and he, that gamesmanship from him after, making no excuses, I thought that was player. I give him props. Big winner from, to me on that card, and I'm going to keep it at that, was Jonathan Navarro, who stopped Brock Allen, man, Damian. Props to him. No excuses from Damian Allen after the fight either. When some people were saying, oh, the fight should have been stopped, be clear, the first knockdown was a legit knockdown. I thought for a second there the ref was going to blow it. Fortunately, he did not. Navarro got the big win, the deserving win, and I think he moves on his career. And that was the big, big takeaway from that fight card at the Avalon that brought out all the stars. They were all out there in Hollywood. And big, big props to Golden Boy. I'm not sure how the Facebook platform is going to work out. Again, there was a lot of issues throughout the world. My only take back from that is there was a lot of different outlets and media people showing the fight. I thought that was pretty weird. I think Golden Boy needs to cut back and hold back and say, we own the rights to that. Kind of like Showtime. When Showtime shows the fight, you watch the fight on Showtime's Facebook or YouTube. You don't watch the fight on this person's page and then that person's page and this media outlet's page. To me, I don't know what – I'm not a techie guy from that aspect, but I know there was a lot of problems. Point being, JoJo got the win. Good for him. Back on the winning column, but bad for him. He's not a champion. And big props to Navarro. Go ahead, my boy.
Yeah, there's different analytics to it. That we can go on, and it's a little bit more now of impressions. And times it's like clicks, you know, how you click bait, and each little click, each time someone goes to a page, it's like a view. So they're working on some of that. Those analytics can be sold and stuff like that. So it's different. It's really changing. The game is really changing, and I think we're barely still in the infant stages of what it's going to end up looking like. On that card, I thought that I had no problems. I watched it from the very beginning until the last fight where the string broke. I had no problems with that.
Your internet was good then, bro. Your internet was good.
Yeah, it was legit till that point. And the fights that they showed were TV friendly. Aaron McKenna, you know, fought a tough guy that went the rounds. Fernandad Caravan fought a tough guy that went the rounds. And Navarro and Damon Allen was a true prospect fight that Golden Boy needs. And one of the things that I saw at the weigh-ins was Eric Gomez grab both of the guys by the head, by the neck.
Yeah, they need more of them, actually.
And bring their heads together and kind of said something to them. And it was 14-0 versus 15-0, and it was a good outlet for them. And I was happy for them because they got a co-main event and probably were the best fight of the night. A couple of days before in that Avalon, there was actually some more fights there that was held by 360, local show, a couple six rounders and stuff, but that was also a good look, and that was on their 360 promotions.net or on their website. You had a couple of cruiserweight named Ali Mekadov. He had a fourth round knockout against Jorge Escalante in the main event, but you also had Brian Ceballo, who they're pushing, and Alvana White on that card. All that was on their website, the whole card, so that was definitely a different outlet. And you want to talk about that Friday card at the Belasco from Golden Boy?
Yeah, man, we'll talk a little bit about that. Big one I want to talk about, you know, Emilio Sanchez got the big win over Chris Martin, the homie, Christopher Martin, Marvelous, who we had on the show a few times, you know, Marvelous, you know, warrior, you know, we've had him on the show a couple of times, just one of those, the truth, man, you know, dude's a correctional officer, and he's a real fighter, he's had some big wins, had some big losses, and I thought he was going to do it again against Emilio Sanchez, who was upset by the Filipino, and he came back, you know, now fighting under Joel Diaz, got the big win. Good for him, man. He surprised me. I thought Christopher Martin was going to, you know, experience. He's got 30-plus wins. You know, he's been in there 40, 50 times already. Just one of those guys that is known to give young guys fits. I think he was the first to give Twitch Franco, who's doing better, his first loss. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, on any given night can surprise and give a fighter, you know, a prospect, a run for their money, and, you know, pulls off some wins sometimes. On the undercard, you know, you had Finito, got the big win You know, he looked good. He got the win. Remains undefeated. Some people are ready for him to step up. If he does, we, you know, I know he'll be ready. You know, he's saying all the right things. Still training out there in Riverside with Coach Robert Garcia, and we wish him all the best. You know, in the co-main event. You know, running into Finito at the Belasco. One thing I will say, he's a lot different than I first met him. I'll never forget the first day I met him was about 6-7 years ago. Real quiet kid, was still amateur. His goal at the time was I want to go fix, win gold, and then turn pro. Oscar De La Hoya is my mentor, and somewhere along that road, you know, hey, fuck the Olympics, I'm going to turn pro. And here he is now, you know, 15-plus wins, you know, undefeated and on his way. You know, some people feel that he's not showing enough, but, I mean, how can you really judge a fighter's career in that aspect that, you know, he's been dropped already. You know, he's had to learn the hard way, you know, Olympics. Amateur fighting and pros is a lot of difference. You know, we talk about that on the show. I've said it. I remember saying it. Those 8-ounce gloves, man, those truth revealers, you put them on, you know, bang. Like, at any given time, you get cracked by the right shot. You know, it's all over. You know, I hope you trained your neck. I hope your fucking neck muscles are tight. I hope your head's ready. I hope you did your, you know, all your proper exercises, because you can fuck somebody up and get fucked up quick, man. And that's the type of stuff that does happen in the sport of boxing. Nonetheless, props to Emilio Sanchez. Props to Finito, who got the big win. LA Fight Club, it don't stop. Matter of fact, Golden Boy has a show tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that as we wind down. Big thing I want to talk about was Saul Neno Rodriguez. I remember having him on the show. We've had him on the show multiple times. I remember having him on the show when he signed with Floyd Mayweather. It was big news. You know, we're excited for him. Like, oh, shit, he's out there hanging out with Floyd. He's got the Rolex. He's out there at the WBC convention. And, you know, we thought, damn, Floyd's going to make him a champion. But somewhere along the line, something happened where he kind of just sat on the shelf. He had like one fight in 2 years. And at one point, the homies were kind of on him because, you know, he's selling fireworks. Yeah, I got the plug on the fireworks. Like, damn, bro, you went from possibly being a world champion to fighting to selling fireworks. But all that is in the past now because he's back with you know, I'm going to call him the machine. I'm going to call Top Rank. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be real and be true to what I do. And I feel they're one of the best at what they do. And I feel that they're going to get Neno right back on track to where he needs to be and where he should be. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, man, for the people that tune in, while they're tuning in now or going to tune in later, man, at some point, I want to ask Floyd, I hope somebody asks Floyd about this type of stuff, man. When he signed Neno, did he sign Neno out of spite? Because let's be real, we know the whole story between him and Aaron. Yeah, they may have squashed it, what have you, but there's some hatred there, there's some deep feelings there. There's a lot more to it, you know, you've heard all the story, you know. Oh, he didn't want me to be the bad boy. I wanted to be the bad boy. He wanted to make me the pretty boy, and he wanted me to be fake, and he wanted to be an all-American goody-two-shoe. He didn't let me be me. Now that I'm me, I'm the man. Now I'm the man. He held me back. And you know the story, Jake Prince and all that. I want to know, was that a move despite him, or did he really have it in him to move Neno? Because I'm just saying, what the fuck happened? You signed him. He was rolling with you. You had him. You know, diamond up. You had him with the Rolex. He was in your entourage. And he was at the club with you, with 2 Chainz. He was out there with you in Vegas. And he kind of just sat there. And if you look back, had he stayed with Top Rank, he stayed with Robert Garcia, he'd probably already be a 2-time champion. He'll already be a champion for sure. But that's what happens in boxing. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying at the top of the hour, man. That's why you take advantages of what you have when you have in front of you, when you have them, because when it's over, it's over. It's a wrap.
Sure.
October 6th, when worlds collide, Vargas versus DeLorme, Thomas DeLorme, another guy who was signed with Floyd Mayweather, you know, went from Gary Shaw, bounced around a little bit, signed with Tom, you know, he fought Ugas. You heard my boy talk about Robert Ugas or Ugandan Ugas. They had a hell of a fight on the card. You know, DeLorme and Ugas win a war. Thomas DeLorme, you know, fucking driving Uber, driving Lyft, which I don't knock. You know, a man does what he has to do to support himself and his family, and he did that. So I give him props, man. So credit to him. The little homie, the YouTube babyface assassin, Daniel Roman, is going to be on the card. He's going down to Chicago, the zone, making their debut out here in the United States. I'll let my boy talk about that a little bit as we wind down. The big one, man, Lucas Matisse, man, he retired. We talked about Manny Pacquiao getting it done prior to that, prior to the show or prior to the layoff. But it, you know, it took him some time. You know, it took him some time, and he decided. You know, he said, "Hey, it's a wrap." Gracias al boxeo, mi vida cambió. Orgulloso de la carrera que pude hacer saliendo un día desde Trulú, Cabo. Gracias. You know, and he gives thanks to his family, and he gives thanks to Vera Santa Fe. He gives props to his family, his neighborhood. You know, hey, man, I'm 35, you know, 35 years, you know, in the game. And, you know, he had to walk away. And at the end of the day, man, I think he did the right thing. I'll say this, like I was talking about Kovalev, even when he won his WBA title, which, again, was one of those titles because at the time, Keith Thurman was the champ, but it was a regular title. It was a title. So he was considered a champ. I felt that he was having trouble at the time, man, and, you know, he pulled out that, you know, the machine, he pulled out that power, and he changed the fight, and he won the fight out there and at the Forum, and oh, the machine is bad. He'll fuck up spins and this and that. And you seen what Manny Pacquiao did to him. And at this point, man, I think he did the right thing. I'm proud of him. You know, a hell of a career. You know, people will look back to that fight again with him and Danny Garcia and how things changed. You know, and it is what it is. You know, and obviously Victor Postol, but. You know, I tip my cap to the Argentinian fighter. Argentina, you got a hell of a champion. You know, you got a lot of fighters out there. I tip my cap to him. And props to you. One last bit of news before we start wrapping up all these other sports and all these other news with these upcoming fights is my boy, man, Terrence Crawford, pound for pound king. Good for him. Good for Omaha doing what's right. They named the street after him, Terrence Bud Crawford Street. My homeboy Red was funny. He said, "Hey man, I got a new hood. I'm claiming Bud Street. You know, I'm claiming Bud Street. You know, we're bringing in Crips and Bloods." And the homie Terrence Crawford, I was fucking with. I was like, "What's up, Blood?" He's like, "Nah, ain't no Bloods over here." And I just thought the shit was funny. But nonetheless, you know, Omaha did what was right. They gave him his own street. And when I say that they did what's right, is they gave it to him now while he's alive, not when he's dead.
Yeah.
Not when he's passed away, not when he's in a wheelchair and can't experience. The fact that he was able to go out there with his people and say, "You know what, man, I came from this street. I did it for y'all, and I'm going to continue to do it for y'all." Guess what, man? That message is going to resonate with those kids forever. Yo, I want to be like him. You know, fighters do so much for countries. They do so much for people. They also do so much for people within their state, within their city. Those Nebraskan people, they ride with him. We've talked about that again on the show, man. They don't have no sports teams. They have the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and that's it. Terrence Crawford, and they got it right, and they did the right thing. They gave him the street. And I think in about 10, 20 years, we're going to have a couple of Terrence Bud Crawfords, and we're going to be able to look back. And when we're still doing this show, and hopefully we're fucking past the 100, because here we are, 127, after 2 or 3 years of doing this shit, I hope we can say, "Hey, man, remember we talked about that on the show," and tip my cap to him. Go ahead, my boy.
Well, he's definitely a guy that's going to be around for the next couple of years. When you're talking about Lucas Matisse, you're talking about, you know, it's we're getting to the point, again, where a generation is passing, an era of fighters that maybe we grew up with or not grew up with, but in our early 20s or early 30s at that point or late 20s, it's definitely a different generation. That's why I'm kind of having fun and I bring it up. I try to talk about a lot of these undercards. I remember seeing Terrence Crawford on an undercard when I went to Vegas for the first time. He was at the Hard Rock, and he was the co-main event. And no one really knew nothing about him. That's before he had actually got his break. I've been to more than a few fights since then. But a lot of these guys that are now popping just recently, that are now popping now, just recently as 3 or 4 years ago, were undercard 6-round, 8-round fighters. that no one really sometimes gives the light of day, or especially media gives the light of day. Everybody's so caught up in the main event. I can talk for days on the main event, but we have to look and keep our eye on some of these younger guys, the four, you know, the four rounders, the six rounders, and the eight rounders. While most of them will never materialize to be anything, some of them guys do end up being at least solid B guys, and then you get your blue chip prospects that end up going through it. Right now, you got quite a few guys that are still working in 4 to 6 rounders that a lot of people in the industry are high on. So when I try to get on, I jump on a tangent and start talking about these young guys, and now I'm doing a little bit more writing for True Boxing Heads, and I'm grateful for that. I'm trying to give a full preview. Now, it might be a little bit longer, but take your time. If you opened up the page, if you're logging on, do yourself the favor and look through it, because there's some useful information. So, and now with these platforms, you're going to get the total event. So you can look and find these fights, and you can enjoy seeing some of these fighters come up in the game as some of these fighters leave the game.
True that, baby, true that. I still remember Terrence Crawford, you know, fighting out here in Dallas, and he was a co-main Mikey Garcia, and everybody was saying he was bum, he was slow, he was weak, and then after that he fights Prescott. Here he is now, man, on the cusp of greatness, you know, making his own history on his path to become a Hall of Famer. And if he shows down against Spence or any of those guys and unifies at 147, guess what? Automatic Hall of Famer. And I'm gonna go ahead and say that like that and keep it real. One fight that we missed out from this past weekend, shout out to Artie. And Lady True Lou out there, Team AZ, BJ Flores, man, he took the L. He got knocked out there in Arizona. He fought the big boy, and I don't think he should ever fight at heavyweight, you know. And he got destroyed, you know. And that's the sport of boxing, y'all. I look back, I remember BJ Flores trying to talk down on Chocolatito Gonzalez, and I remember Twitter eating his ass up, saying, "How dare you? How dare you talk about?" You know, pound, you know, this was when Chocolatito was pound for pound. You know, he was a legend, and you know, changed the game. You know, and BJ Flores, you know, he had a good career. You know, he did good for himself. You know, but definitely on the wrong end on Saturday, got knocked out. And that's the sport of boxing, man. You just never know what's going to happen. It could happen to anyone at any time. You got Locked and Loaded next week. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go on, or next week. You know, Barbie Juarez, got her 50th win, retaining the WBC title, woman showdown. You know, there's been a lot of talks in Mexico about them fighting down there in Mexico. After Jackie Nava was on the card, she won, and they actually made an improv 2 press conference saying, "Hey, we're going to fight. We're going to fight this year, and it's going to go down." Canelo had his teleconference. The big thing was, you know, and I quote, you know, "I learned a lot from the first fight. You know, it was my first fight at 160. No excuses this time. I'm going for the win." You know, he was asked about the Kimbleraw, and he says, "You know what? It was a mistake. We all know what happens in Mexico. You know, I learned from it. I learned not to make the same mistake, to be cautious." Oscar De La Hoya was questioned on it. He says, "Hey, man, this is totally different than Shane Mosley and any other fight. Those other guys tested positive for steroids. You know, Canelo came up positive for a trace of something that is known in Mexico." And, he actually went on to say that, you know, he feels that he's going to be the good guy. And if he wins, all that will be forgotten, because obviously he's going to be clean for this fight. And there's going to be no issues. This is Oscar De La Hoya saying this and that. You know, the Mexican people will forget it, because, you know, if he goes out there and wins emphatically, you know, there's going to be no question about him winning. And That was the big thing from the, because they were asking the same question in so many ways. And that's what it came down. You know, "Hey, I'm ready. You know, I'm training with Reynoso. We're in San Diego. You know, we're ready." You know, and another big thing that I took away from it was that, they, you know, when they asked him about, you know, Triple G, he says, you know, "After all the shit talking that they did, you know, there's no, we got no love for him. You know, no respect. All love is lost. And you know, we're ready for war. We're ready to get it done September 15th. And the countdown begins. I believe yesterday was the 30-day mark, and we rocked towards that path. Sean Porter, he had his media day yesterday in Las Vegas. We got some videos up on the True Boxer Heads YouTube. You can check them out. and him and Coach Kenny, Dad Kenny, they're ready to fight. You know, one thing I will say this, I've actually talked to Sean Porter about this in the past. His dream has always been to win the WBC. He actually told me to my face, you know what, bro, out of all those belts, I've always wanted that belt. I've always wanted that green belt. And I've always wanted to be a champion of that. So I know that he has that drive to win that belt. You know, obviously he wants to become a champion again. You know, he was the IBF champion, lost his belt to Kell Brook. But to know straight from the horse's mouth that, man, that's the one I want. That's that girl that I wanted in high school. You know, that's the one I always wanted. That's the one that when she walked by, drove me crazy. And now I got the chance to get at her, get her number. And he literally gave me that look in his eyes like, bro, that's the belt I want, man. Everybody's had that belt. Mike Tyson, Floyd Mayweather, Evander Holyfield, all the greats have had that belt. I feel like if I win that belt, bro, it's got the most prestige. I'll always be a part of boxing history. So I know he's hungry for it, and it's going to be a good fight. So, again, you can check out those videos. One thing was a little bit disappointing was Carlos Baldemir. He got arrested for sexual assault on his own daughter. Where it is, you know, the investigation is legit. The judge that questioned his daughter said that, you know, that she was of good mind and good heart. And she felt that, you know, she was speaking from the heart. So he was arrested. He's facing 30 years. And shit, man, the rest is history. I think that was posted out there on Boxing Scene. I think they're the ones who broke the news and the Argentinian news. But it's just sad to see, man, that the devil's in anyone at any time, man. And you can't ever trust nobody, man. It kind of broke my heart. But no love. No love. For Carlos Baldemir. If he is, in fact, guilty, it's a wrap. I don't give a fuck what he accomplished in the ring. You know, he got the win over Judah. And, you know, he knocked out Arturo Gatti. He got to fight Floyd Mayweather. Got destroyed by Canelo. And no love, man. If he affected that, man, you know what? Karma and life has a plan for you, homeboy, and good luck to you, homeboy. This week, man, from Atlantic City, you know, we talked a little bit about Kovalev. One thing I didn't mention that I'm going to mention now that I just thought about, and that's why I love talking about boxing. I could do this, yo. The day y'all want to pay us, pay me, pay Montano to talk boxing, we're going to do it. But until then, we got to do what pays the bills. But one big thing was that Kovalev versus Alvarez, they brought back big-time boxing. I did have the pleasure of making the trip out to Atlantic City about 5 years ago. And at the time, Tele was dying. You know, at the time, Boardwalk Empire was out there, or they were filming it. It wasn't even out there. But it was based on the back in the days, you know, the Arturo Gatti's and all that stuff. Those epic fights when there was boxing. And it was big. That Kovalev fight supposedly sold out. That was the first big fight in Atlantic City in some time. And how we're going to have another, how it's going to sell, we don't know. But B.Y. Jennings, who's a heavyweight, who's been in there with a lot of different guys, he's going to be fighting Alexander Dmitrenko in the main event. And then you got Jesse Hart on the undercard or in the co-main event. And then you got Carl Frampton versus Luke Jackson from Belfast, Ireland. They're actually fighting for the interim WBO. I don't know what the fuck is going on with these belts. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Because the real champion is Oscar Valdez, let's be clear. The fight will be shown on YouTube and Facebook Showtime pages. And then later on in the evening, it will be shown on Show Extreme. So those are the two big cards. B.Y. Jennings, you know, looking to get back in the column. And I'm sure Top Rank will get him a big fight if he does what he has to. First things first, you got to fight and you got to win. You know, no gimmies, you know, because Alexander Dmitrenko is looking to win. On that undercard, you got Shakur Stevenson. That's going to be on ESPN. So people are saying like, you know, there's no boxing this weekend. Bullshit. There's some good fights. You know, you get to watch Frampton in the daytime. And then if you want to catch that replay, you can. And then you get to watch the fights from Atlantic City on ESPN, which is a good look. And, you know, just to kind of reiterate my point is, you know, Atlantic City was, I remember shit, watching fights as a kid when they were fighting out there. And, you know, Arturo Gatti, Hall of Famer, got some rest in peace. Was out there fighting his ass off, and, you know, he was bringing the people, you know, getting drunk, getting hurt, coming back, getting, you know, and winning. This morning, you had TJ Donahue, the Irish is coming up, got another guy,
yeah,
took away from Plus, IBF Junior Featherweight title, that was on ESPN Plus. And then we got the fights tomorrow from Indio, California on ESPN 2. Andrew Conacio, tough warrior. You've seen him fight.
Let me jump in and help you out because you're breaking up a little bit. The day before the ESPN card, the ESPN regular and ESPN Plus card by Top Rank, you do have an ESPN 2 card from the Fantasy Springs Casino on Friday. You get a 2 10-round fights from Andrew Cancillo, who was actually last fought about a year and a half ago against just fought in April. He had taken a break of about a year after losing to Jojo Diaz here in Arlington. He's looking to get back. He's recently signed back up with Golden Boy, so they're looking to put him back. He weighed 128 today. Not sure if he's going to be at super featherweight or at featherweight. But there's some interesting fights for him. In the co-main event is Yoshihiro Kamagai, who was last seen losing in. Last seen losing a decision loss to Miguel Cotto. He's fighting Greg Venditti from Massachusetts, 19-2. A blue collar guy has recently picked up the competition level. You should probably also see Luis Feliciano. He's actually Wisconsin born, but moved to California. He's 7-0. He's a big kid. He's a super lightweight. They got some high expectations for him. He's 7-0, and he's already fighting in his an 8-round fight. Both this card on the ESPN, they're on TrueBoxingHeads.com. You can go on there and find a legit preview on both of these cards. On the ESPN cards, as Nacho had told you, I think Jennings is on the cusp of a big fight. One of the things that I got to see, with the ESPN outlet is him getting a lot of exposure, a lot of interview, a lot of TV time. And he's a different type of fighter. I do not think he's really in love with boxing, but understands what this is his job and he's going to do it. Like one of the questions that they asked him, Steve Kim asked him, Dan Raphael, I've seen both interviews, and they both asked him, what his expectations of this fight was, and it says win. I'm here to win. I'm not going to guarantee you a knockout. I got to win by any means. And that's they asked him about his time away from boxing. He's a truthful character. I think he understands his position, and he's very close to a big, meaningful fight. He's in a division that's blooming. There's about 10, 15 legitimate heavyweights out there, and he's one of them. So Jesse Hart, too, is on at the co-main event. He's on the cusp of getting the rematches. He's the mandatory for Gilberto Ramirez. He's 24-1. He can be fighting anyone, either here in the States or European. He's knocking on the door of opportunity. You got former world champion Jason Sosa coming back. Shakur Stevenson, like Nacho said. Christian Carto is 15-0. He's getting some platform. Even Joseph Ardono there. There's a lot of Philly. That's the East Coast. You see Golden Boy with the SoCal scene. I see Top Rank doing the Philly and East Coast thing, and all that's going to be on ESPN Plus. Is like I was saying earlier, there's a bunch of undercard guys that are coming through the ranks that are worth your attention if you're looking to watch any type of boxing.
Yeah, and we talked about the plateaus, the streaming media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all the different platforms, And one platform that we talked about was the DAZN. And we also talked about the World Boxing Super Series on KLOWDTV. I was actually going to cancel my subscription when I said, oops, wait a minute. Robinson Castellanos versus from Russia taking on Razakimov. I was like, shit, wait a minute. I can watch that fight. I've known Robin Hood, Castellanos. He's a tough dude.
Yep.
Man, he's upset some guys, and he's got some wins. And guess what I'm going to be doing on Saturday while I'm out there slinging cars at Grub Nissan? I'm going to be watching the Crampton versus Luke Jackson fight. on my computer. If I don't have a customer, and even if I do, I'm gonna sneak it in because they know I'm a boxing head. They'll see all my boxing memorabilia that I have up on my desk, and I'm also gonna be watching Rakhimov versus Castellanos on my cloud TV that I actually have on my phone. And I'm actually happy I didn't delete the app. So that's gonna be going down. It's a fight that we're gonna talk about. Carlos Cuadras, you know, recovery. After, you know, he had some situations, you know, he had to go through some recovery, had to go through some rehab. He's going to be fighting on a fight against Ricardo Nunes in a bounce back card. We wish him well. From Hanover, Maryland, you got CBS Sports, Damon Nicholson against Isaac Rodriguez. Card kind of under the radar. Michael Fox is probably the more known fighter, and he's the undercard fighter. He's going to be fighting the Corley.
Chop, chop.
And then you got another warrior, Leonardo Tyner, who knocked out Charles Hatley back in the day. He's going to be fighting Ivan Golov. Shit, man, that's the sport of boxing, man. Some of these guys bounce around. You got a card from Bain Sports. I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to watch it. Big one is that, you know, Luke Jackson versus Carl Frampton. You got Tyson Fury making his return, you know, saying he's going to be trying to fight Deontay Wilder at the end of the year. Then you got Rosales versus Barnes for the WBC flyweight title. And again, like my boy Montana went down the list from, you know, Jason Social, Corey Stevenson, what have you. Sport of boxing all the time. It is what it is, man. We don't stop. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, props to my boy Montana for doing his thing, you know, plugging, writing those websites, getting his Dan Raphael on. And like he said, man, do take the time to read. And, you know, we appreciate the love, man. We appreciate it. I'm looking forward to a lot of these fights coming up. You know, Triple G, Triple G Golovkin versus Canelo's on the horizon. Shit, man, there's a lot of stuff that's gonna happen as we unfold and as the season unwinds, man. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we do have that ESPN card from tomorrow. All the fighters made weight. 128 pounds for Canacio. Darden comes in at 127.8. That's the main event. The swing bout, you got Caballero's little brother, Romel. He came in at 129.6. He's going to fight the Mexican Vasquez from Saltillo, Mexico. That's the swing bout. The co-main event, Kamagai, a warrior. You've seen him fight. Unfortunately, he was not a warrior against Cotto. Kamagai versus Vendetti. That's going down tomorrow, so you can tune in for that. And it's all boxing all the time, man. Just had to bounce back, had to do this show real quick. I actually, you know, I did fail a little bit. I was trying to get the homie Jose Benavides, who we've been having. Been trying to connect for a long time. Also Ray Beltran and Kendall Castaneda. And I just got caught up, folks, man. It's true, man. I said it earlier, man. We don't get paid for this. You know, we take time out of our lives, but we love doing it. You know, don't get me fucked up. And there's times when, especially when I see some of these shows, I'm like, damn, these dudes are garbage. I'm not saying we're the best, you know, but practice does make perfect. And we do this, and we do this on a real, and we do this on a reg. You know, we talk boxing and it's from the heart. And, you know, we get caught up. You know, we got to pay these bills. But we had to come back. My boy Montano, I actually did it because I owe my boy Montano for all the hard work that he does put in. I was like, man, we had to do it. So today I made the time. But in hindsight, it works out for me because now I'm a mental conscience. And I look forward to next week, you know. And I know we're going to have some more news. And I'm actually kind of – actually, I felt kind of a little because I know at the end of the rainbow we got a lot of fights coming up this fall. And got some
September's gonna be popping,
and I think I'm gonna make the trip out to Vegas. I think I'm gonna be out there for the rematch. I was there for the first one. I was over here trying to plan for Chicago and New York and all this other shit. I was like, you know what, man, fuck that. I might as well just go to Vegas, go out there, go for the homeboy Danny Boy's grand opening, having his restaurant grand opening. Go to Las Islitas, the tradition. And then go catch the fight out there. And then also, you know, just enjoy the Vegas life, man. I appreciate it, man. All boxing all the time.
Sure.
Make sure to follow us on TrueBoxingHead.com. On Instagram, TrueBoxingHead. Shout out to everybody that follows. Twitter, TrueBoxingHead. Facebook, TrueBoxingHead. You got any comments, complaints, you know, you can reach us on any social media. You can also email us at TrueBoxingHeads@gmail.com. You got some news, you got some shows you want to update. Shit, if you're interested in joining the team, reach out to us. Always looking for good men and women. Appreciate all the support all the time. All boxing all the time. It don't stop. I'll go ahead and pass the mic to my boy Montano. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, when you, you know, when you talk about what we're trying to do for the game, you know, or trying to give our little insight into boxing, there's also, you know, all types of media, not just here in the Metroplex, but all around. And especially in this day and age, it's really easy. Give a like, a share, and just enjoy. People are trying to live their lives and trying to live their dreams, whatever might make them happy. Be a part of that. Give a comment, whether it's a complaint or a comment. We're here and we're ready to communicate with y'all. It's kind of what we want to do. We want to be able to give y'all insight into some of these fights and be a part of a community. Another thing, just shout out to Undercard Promotions. They got a black tie event at the Omni in Dallas where tickets are available for $75. You got Fernando Garcia 9-0 facing David Houston. Houston's fighter David Perez 10-3 in a right round bout. You also got Hector Valdez and Manuel Rojas on that card. Below, you know, it's a local card for us, but these are guys that we've seen their journey from the beginning, so we got to give them some love. And once again, just like, share, enjoy, and see y'all next week, hopefully.
Big facts, my boy. And that's what it is, man. We'll wrap it up with that. You know, like he said, like, share, and enjoy, man. It don't stop. All Boxing All the Time, True Talk Radio, episode 127. Hopefully next week, man, we'll see how see what this week or weekend comes brings us. And then we look forward, man. You got Superfly 3 on the horizon. September will be popping, and then I think October 6th. And then you got football season around the corner, man. I love summer. Summer brings us out. Summer brings the fun. You know, you got the pool weather. You got the michelada weather. But one thing I love about fall is you got the sports, you know, all the time, boxing, and then you got football, TCU football, and then you got NFL, man. So it's a great time, whether you're in Vegas, L.A., Pennsylvania, Atlantic City, New York, Texas, wherever you're at, man, Chicago, it's always going down. So I look forward to that, man. Thanks to everybody who tunes in. Thanks to everybody who supports True Talk Radio, not the freestyle show because we didn't freestyle. But it was the last-minute show, man. But we made it happen. True Talk Radio, episode 127. Salute and praise, man. And we'll be back, man. We'll see you out. And I'm going to, you know, rest in peace. Eddie Camacho, never gone but never forgotten. Baby, we out, baby. True Talk Radio.
True Boxing Head.
Que trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo más nada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio te haré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes porque mucha gente se muere sin culpa. Bien dicen que en el negocio siempre son los socios los que te traicionan. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca es talona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora. Mi abuela, que eran importantes. Que no te llene de plomo si nosotros somos narcotraficantes. Para mi remordimiento, de veras que siento darte un gran regalo. ¿Qué color quieres la caca? ¿Te gusta plateado del color dorado? No se te olvide en el viaje llevarle el mensaje a tus ex pistoleros. Que no les quede la duda que yo con las viudas como me divierto. Ya con esta me despido, me llega un pitido que es como una bomba.
México, Estados Unidos, Panamá, Perú, Venezuela y Colombia. Y están directos conmigo, Cuba y Puerto Rico, los tengo en la bolsa.